This audio presentation is the teaching of John Brown of New Hope East Hawaii. This message, entitled What About Words, was delivered on March 24th, 2019. Here now is John Brown.
Anymore.
What talent. Thank you, Brother Rich. I mean, that's what we do. We get to go and out in the world and find these lost people, show them the way home. Amen? Well, this morning, I get a break. Woo! Because our brother John, our that's why we didn't have a harmonica player this morning. Because he is giving us the word from God this morning. So would you welcome John Brown?
Got me? Oh, there we are. Okay. Terrific. I'm sitting here still making notes. I want to talk to you this morning about the power of words. The message starts early in the Bible, verse 3 of Genesis. It's God spoke the earth into existence. He started with, let there be light. And there was light. And then he spoke, he said, and he brought into existence all those things we call the world, which is an indication of the power of words. But God's words aren't the only words that have power. We're created in His image, so we too are creators. But I have a question for you. What kind of things are we creating with the words that we speak on a daily basis? You'll remember or recognize the phrase, with great power comes great responsibility. Not only was that Spider-Man, but I think that was Voltaire and Churchill, and both Teddy and Franklin Roosevelt had something very similar to share. And it's true. I mean, the truth of that is that what we say makes a difference. I don't think there's a person in this room who cannot recall either a wonderful thing someone said to them once that they still carry in their heart, or something terrible that someone said to you that you still feel the pain from. So we need to be very careful with our words. You know, people can say things like, you're so smart, you're amazing, you're talented, you're sweet, you're the best, I admire you. Or they can say, you know, you're stupid, you're never going to amount to anything, you're fat, you're ugly, I hate you. And those words have the power to both, you know, heal and to hurt. I love this one quote. I can live for 2 months on a good compliment. That's from the book of Mark Twain. But it's true. There's a lot of truth in that. Those of us who are hungry for that affirmation, those of you who have ever read Gary Chapman's 5 Love Languages, one of the love languages, words of affirmation, I happen to be... it's a joke. It's a joke around our house, I'll tell you. But I can really relate to what Mark Twain is saying. You remember when people are kind to you and say wonderful things that fill you with good feeling. So be careful with your words. There's an interesting article. Amy brought it to my attention, my wife. There's research going on in both Japan and in here in America at Harvard, Johns Hopkins, Kumamoto University in Japan. Exposure to parental verbal abuse has actual effects on the development of a portion of the brain that has to do with how we interpret speech. You know how if you go out and you don't wear gloves and you chop a tree down or something, you damage your hand and it grows a callus there, you know, because your skin, your body's protecting you against abuse. And the same thing happens to your brain. You begin to lose the ability to process the bad things that you're hearing coming in. So don't for a minute think that your words don't have power. They do. And I think we discount them a lot today. So one of the things I want to encourage you to do is to regulate the words you hear. It's hard to do, but if you bring it to the forefront of your consciousness and you think about it, you can take steps to protect yourself and your heart from what's coming at you in the world. You know, regulate comes from the Latin word, regulare, and that's to control. So you want to try and control what's coming into your heart through your ears. And I mean by that television, I mean newspapers, music, the opinion news shows that you see. There's a lot of high volume words being spoken on those things, and not many of them are much in the way of value when you evaluate them the way God would. So I think we need to be aware of that. We can't, of course, take ourselves out of the world entirely, but if we're conscious of it, and the music we listen to, and I know a lot of curmudgeons my age are, you know, constantly going to tell you about kids and their so-called music these days, you know. And we pick on gangster rap and hip-hop and stuff like that, but, you know, they did studies on music across genres, pop music, country music, you know, all kinds of music. And there's a lot of violence in all of it. It's not just, you know, let's not just pick on one particular type of music. So all of it. And a lot of us, I think, kind of take that action by turning to Christian radio and kind of listening to it. You hear a lot of testimonies about people who guard their heart in that way. They don't want to necessarily listen to what's being dispensed with regularity in the other channels. And that's good. So we want to regulate the words we hear, control what we listen to. We're instructed to test the integrity of those that would speak to us as teachers as well. In Titus 1:7-9, I'll read because I can't memorize these things. For the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, nor pugnacious, nor fond of sordid gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able to both exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. And Jesus himself, when he was in the particular context he was talking about when his disciples were eating without washing their hands and the Pharisees or whomever it was, were criticizing for that. He said, the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man. And so what he's saying is the natural man is pretty ugly. You see a two-year-old child, they're pretty greedy and selfish, and it's a pretty good snapshot of what we are before we turn to God and ask for some help. So I ask you to consider guarding your heart by feeding your heart with the Word of God on a regular basis. I know Pastor Scott encourages us to bring our Bibles and here on Sunday, but we also have a reading program that he encourages everyone to use. I mean, there's probably 1,000 reading programs available. The one we tend to focus on here in New Hope is, it's called the Life, it's in here somewhere, I need my magnifying glass. Yes, it's the, come on, John. Life Journal is what it's called. Pastor Wayne Cordero, who some of you know, who used to be here on this island, is now in Oregon, I believe, put this together, and it's designed to basically take you through the Bible, the Old Testament once a year, and the New Testament twice a year. So if you follow this reading program, you'll have gone through the Old Testament completely in a year, and the New Testament twice in that same year. You'll find it if you have an electronic Bible. You probably have either the YouVersion or maybe Olive Tree. That particular program is available in both. The website for New Hope East Hawaii has it posted. If you go on the website and you look under, I think it's About Us, down at the bottom there'll be a tab for the reading program. And there'll be a schedule of what to read each day of the year. And the reason we encourage everybody to read together is so that we all have context. When we talk to each other, we come together in small groups, or any time we're discussing what we're reading in the Bible, We're all on the same page, literally, and it helps. And you'll hear it in the messages as well when Pastor Scott's talking. Well, you're telling me I'm blind. I should put my glasses on. So I encourage you to guard your heart by feeding on the Word of God. In Deuteronomy 8:3, I lean a lot on the Scriptures. I hope that's okay with you because I'm confident in the Scriptures. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. And I think sometimes, you know, we get busy. How much time do we spend in the Word as opposed to listening to words elsewhere? Which is why that daily reading is really, really important, to start your day that way. And to kind of give you some perspective. It's another one I found after I sent the notes to the team that puts together our bulletins. It's Romans 3:13. Our words are full of blessings when the heart is full of blessing. So if we fill our hearts with the love of Christ, only truth and purity can come out of our mouths. And that's what we're going for here. You know, if we can stay in the Word so that when we're squeezed, good stuff comes out. That's what we would like. I think we all struggle with the stresses of everyday life, whether it's somebody cutting you off in traffic or somebody, you know, doing you wrong in some way. Pause. You know, the old adages about talk, you know, say count to 10 before you respond to something that makes you angry. Those good words of advice, actually. The bottom line is you want to regulate what's coming into your ears, control what you're listening to, evaluate what you're listening to on the basis of what you know to be true in God's Word, and then we need to regulate what we say as well. When we talk about words that we say, a lot of times, you know, we skip over what we say to ourselves. I want to, remind you that God finds you valuable and loves you. And the fact that somebody at some time may have spoken words of disparagement to you, about you, and it's so sad to see that propagated from one generation to the next. I cannot tell you, in the years Amy and I spent in marriage coaching and working with married people, how much of what they got from their parents they don't want to propagate to their children, but they hear it coming out of their mouths. It's that pattern that we pick up unconsciously. And so we need to regulate that and evaluate it again against the Word of God. And God loves you. Sometimes we forget what, you know, God says about us. The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He'll exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. Not you're ugly, you're stupid, but you're of worth. 1 John 3:1. How great a love the Father has bestowed on us that he would be called children, we would be called children of God, and such we are. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. So the more we embody what we take in out of the Bible, the more we believe what God is saying about ourselves and believe it, the easier it becomes for us to speak kindly to ourselves and to live as if we are of value to God. And of course, we want to be careful about reflecting the love of God when we speak to others as well. We want to bless those to whom we speak. It's amazing how much, go into your Bible and if you have an electronic version and search for word or word, it's just incredible amounts of material in there talking about the tongue and how the importance and the value of words. And you can think back when you hear or see in the Old Testament, someone will ask their father to bless my sons. And they'll give a blessing, and then He'll say, well, don't you have a blessing for him? No. It's amazing. It's like once it's done, it's done. And you can't take it back. And I think a lot of us, we get so numb in the world today. There's so much that we hear, you know, that we just don't believe. You know, we hear promises that are broken all the time, whether it's in the political realm or whether it's in the marketing of products. We're all very skeptical. There's not a child on the planet or in the United States who really believes that the hamburger at McDonald's looks like the picture up on the sign up there, because it doesn't, and he knows it. And so we're lied to all the time, and we can't allow ourselves to accept it, actually. I mean, we can't necessarily change it, but we can acknowledge it and act accordingly, and that's important, and act with love, of course. So we need to regulate what we're saying to other people. Ephesians, there's a nice quote here, Ephesians 4, 29 and 30. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification that may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And while I was listening to the worship team, they were talking about, they were singing their song. I flashed on another scripture that I had to look up because I'm, you know, while I've gone through the Bible, I don't know, 20 some times in the years that I've been back with God, I still don't have them all memorized and perfect, but I understand the spirit of what is being said. And there was a scripture that I had to jot down just before I came up. These sermons are never finished until you're up here. But Matthew 12, 36, this one is a very sobering one. It says, in every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, sounds a little harsh, but it's just. And that's the word of God. I'm an East Coast boy. I grew up in the Washington, D.C. metro area. People in that neighborhood speak a lot, and they don't pause 10 seconds before they tell you what they think of you. It was quite an adjustment when I moved from that area. I lived in Colorado for about 6 years before I came to Hawaii. It's kind of like getting into the airlock and changing the pressure a little bit. Stepped me down, and then I came to Hawaii. I really had to learn to rein it in because I was very quick to make what I thought were clever observations, but that were, you know, cutting comments, kind of sarcastic. Just a way of life for me as a child on the East Coast. Fortunately, I had my wife to whack me on the back of the head and help me moderate my behavior, because this is a very, I always like to tell people from Hawaii who are going to the East Coast for the first time, don't take it personally. They do that to everybody. And because it's almost like 180 degree separation between the East Coast and here in Hawaii, where the cultural expectation is aloha, as opposed to the cultural expectation of sarcasm and criticism and ranking. So that was my journey, and I'm encouraging you to have a similar journey in your day-to-day activities so that you can better reflect God's love to those that you interact with. Because the lyric I was talking about on the song was looking into my heart. You know, I want my heart to be in condition that I'm not afraid to see God, let God see it. You know, because he does, whether we think so or not. You know, we like to think that we're hiding things from God, but we're not. So again, when you speak, do your best to regulate what you say. And the good news is we're not on our own. We have help. Jesus was about to, when he had actually risen from the dead and he was talking to his apostles, he was telling them things that, you know, you're going to suffer on my behalf. But in Luke 2:11, he says, when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not worry about how or what you are to speak in your defense or what you are to say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. And it's not just something for the apostles. It's something for us too in our daily life. When that guy cuts you off in traffic, or when that person at work treats you disrespectfully or says nasty things behind your back, or whatever it happens to be. in addition to counting to 10, you know, we need to run our thoughts and our words through that God filter on the way out. Romans 8:11 is a good one too. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus or Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That's powerful help, the helper that Christ promised us. Again, in John 14:26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Encouraging words, and not just for the apostles, because we too are imbued with the Spirit of God. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the grave is available and in each and one of us, each and every one of us, if we will acknowledge it, surrender to it, and take comfort in it. So I want you to remember that words have power. Don't ever forget it. And I'll encourage you to secure the gateway into our hearts through our ears, to fill our hearts with godly truth so that when we are squeezed, when things get tough, when challenges come up, that the first word out of our mouth isn't a disparaging word. You know, that person in the car in front of you is a child of God who's loved by God just in the same way you are. I'm not looking directly at you, Pastor. But we all have our challenges. Those kinds of things are tough. I got into the habit of, speaking of driving, big problem. Biggest challenge to my Christianity is being looking at taillights. And I decided one day that I would try two things. One, I would, whenever I was in a car and I had a problem, I would see if the pressing the brakes wouldn't solve it. And it's amazing how many times it does. And the other thing is when somebody did something rude, instead of getting all scowly, I would smile at them. You cannot imagine the shock on the people's faces when you do that. But it's a wonderful thing. And I read an article recently, and I think it was the Washington Post or something. Some lady was talking about traffic in D.C., the center of East Coast aggression. I'll call it aggression. She was talking about some lady behind her, honk, 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 on her while she's waiting for a parking spot. And she said the lady left, and she went to park. The lady behind her pulled up and rolled her window down. So she rolled her window down expecting to hear some nasty thing. She said, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize you were waiting to park your car. And the shock on this woman was amazing because you don't hear that. You know. So anyway, be that person. You know, be that person. Spread a little bit of love. Give a little grace. And it's amazing because that's acceptable. I'll be happy to take judgment for that when I'm standing before God and being evaluated for every word that came out of my mouth. So fundamentally, that's the simple message I have for you. There's 1,000 references to the power of words. If you don't believe me, spend some time in Proverbs. And it's amazing about, you know, the power of the tongue and how you can't tame it. So acknowledge that power. Don't get numb to it. Regulate what you're listening to, what you're taking into your heart. Fill your heart with the Word of God and share that Word not only with others but with yourself, and you cannot go wrong. So I'm going to pray with you and for all of us, and I hope you'll join me. Father, we are so grateful. We are always grateful for the way you have blessed us with a wonderful gift, that gift of forgiveness, your Son, Jesus Christ. And we acknowledge that the power that raised him from the dead and that is promised to us by him is available to us every day. And we will acknowledge that and take full advantage of that and celebrate that in the words we say to ourselves and the words we say to others, knowing full well that while we'll stumble, that when we stand before you in judgment, you may find us acceptable, that you will say, well done. We hope that. We ask your help. We're grateful for the Holy Spirit. We will lean on him as we try and please you on our day-to-day life. We ask these things in the wondrous name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Amen.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
All right, let's stand up and let's praise our God.
You've been listening to John Brown of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keaau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.